Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
Well, God is good to us, isn't He? He is a wonderful Lord, a mighty God. It's great living this life that we have, that God's blessed us with, and we enjoy every single minute of it, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many brought the Bible with you today? I hope that you did, because there is where the answer is. That right there is what's going to change your life. It's changed mine, I know, and it'll change everybody's life that will act on it and believe on it. So let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same. Never, 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 in Jesus' name, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, wow, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that you're ready to get on fire for God and just move for Him in the Word today. Open the Scriptures with me. I believe we're at the book of Luke. I have New King James Version there. And we're going to begin talking a little bit today into some nuts and bolts. And you and I actually moving into place where God is, where Jesus is, and where the early New Testament church is or was. And so our text that we've been reading from, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. What you've got there is an eternal principle that tells us, when we read the text, there's a good man, he has good treasure in his heart, and he brings that forth into his life. So if you want good in your life, you need good inside of you, in your heart, good treasure in your life. That's what's going to bring it out. He gives us a principle. It works both ways. It's totally up to you. Because he says this, that an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil things. Notice, for of the abundance, the fullness of his heart, he speaks. That's why it's so vitally important that you and I meditate on the Word of God. Not just drop in on the Bible, drop in on a text, but let the text literally change our lives and let it become a part of who we are. And we meditate in it day and night. And as we do, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, that whatever we do, we will have good success in our life as we meditate on the Word of God. But we've been talking about that. And so we've been talking about it like this. Notice he brings forth out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. What does his mouth speak? His mouth speaks words. Words is how this universe is set up to operate. It's how it works. We learned that real briefly in the book of Genesis when we saw that God created this world not by lightning bolts or atomic blasts or things like that, but he created this world by his words. He said six times in 6 days, he said and he spoke, and everything we know anything about is here now because of the spoken word of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that this world has been framed by the Word of God. The Bible goes on to tell us as well that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning of God. Not anything was made that was made except it was made by Him, by the Word of Almighty God. And so we have to recognize in our own lives, that's the way we're going to see things happen. Remember, It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't have to go out and build literally like we might could build a building or something like that. We don't have to go do works in the kingdom of God. What we simply do is believe on the word of God, speak the word of God, and God does the rest. It makes it pretty easy in our lives. And so we learn that God works that way by his spoken word. We saw Jesus do the same thing. In fact, he was known for that. He was known for it so much that when the centurion came to him asking him to heal his servant, he said, "You don't have to come in my house because I know you. I know you. All you need to do is speak a word only." He had a word only ministry, if you will, that when he spoke, things happen. And again and again and again, you see Jesus speaking the word. The Bible says that he cast out devils with his word. He spoke and people were healed. He spoke and the fig tree was cursed. He spoke and the storm stopped. And so he did everything he did by the words. We saw that. We also saw in scripture about the New Testament church and the early church. They began doing the same thing from the day of Pentecost. Right on through, we see Peter, we see James, we see John, we see Paul, we see Luke, we see different people operating, working, and how are they doing it? They're doing it by the words of their mouth. They are speaking. Peter's preached on that day, and they said his words had pricked their hearts, and they believed on his words, and when they did, the scripture says 3,000 were added to the church, and the Lord added daily such as should be saved as they continually spoke that word into their life. And so the word was spoken in the New Testament church, and we've sort of talked about that. We've looked at it. Now, what I want to get to today is this. Turn with me to Genesis 1, chapter 26, all the way back to the first of the Bible, and let's look at our use of words today. What are you doing with the words of your mouth today, and are you doing anything with them? Let me say this as a side point as I step over here. One is this. You are doing something with your words, whether you know it or not. Whether you've made a decision one way or not, you are doing something with the words of your mouth. And the words of your mouth are creating your world. They're creating your environment. They're creating your relationships. They're creating your understanding. They're creating the world that you live and exist in. The words of your mouth are creating that and speaking that into this world. And so you do that. We're going to see it. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness." So then, what are we made like? We are made in the image of God, and we are after his likeness. We are to be like him. Now, again, don't walk out here and say, "Pastor says we're God." I'm not saying you're God. You're not God whatsoever. You're not at all. But at the same time, you're not like, let's say, in the animal kingdom. We're not, you know, giraffes. We're not in the giraffe class of being. We're not fish. We're not in, you know, that water type class of being. We're not like that class of being that flies. We're created by God Almighty. And, of course, we are not God. Don't think I'm saying that. I'm not. We're not God. But we are in a God class of being. He has put us in a place in our lives where we're to live like him, to honor him, to love him, to bow our knee to him, to respect him, and live our lives just like he would want us to live it here on planet Earth. And so he made us in his image and in his likeness. That's how we are made. Notice what he says right after that. Let them have dominion. We are to have dominion. You are to be in authority and in control. Not let this world run all over you. Not let the world tell you what to do. But you are in a place where you are the one that's controlling the situation. You are the one that has dominion, power, and authority on the earth. Notice it's over every area. Over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth and all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. In other words, you and I have been placed in charge over planet Earth. The Bible said in the book of Psalms that the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the hands of man. And so you and I have authority over this earth. How good will this earth be one way or the other? It'll be as good as you and I make it. How bad will it be? It will be as bad as you and I make it. It's up to the inhabitants of this earth what this earth system looks like. Now, God's got a divine plan and a prophetic plan, and he's coming one day to shut this thing all the way down. And you know, you can look around the earth today and you can see a lot of distressing things, a lot of craziness that's going on, a lot of just ridiculous stuff that is out there nowadays. It's not hard. People literally have lost their minds. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to reason. They don't know how to use logic. They don't even know who they are. And all of those kind of things are happening in the earth. And you know what? The Bible says, what is it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and then back down to verse 7. When the Bible tells us in these last days that the Son of Man will not come and be revealed except there come a falling away first. And so we're seeing that happen in our earth today. There is a falling away that is taking place in society as well as in a number of churches across our land. We see that falling away taking the place. And that real change is going to take place. What are we going to do? We're going to vote quality. We're going to vote righteously. We're going to be active in our citizenship and all those things. But all that be as it may, what we're looking for is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That's when it's going to get all straightened out. That's when it's going to happen. It's an interesting thing. They've talked a lot about global warming. They're sort of going to be backing off of it now, but they've talked a lot about global warming because since 2015 to now, the earth is not warming any longer. It's now cooling. But they were going to burn us all up. We're going back like it was in the 70s. It was then we were going to have the ice age. We were all going to freeze to death. Then that didn't work out, and so they're going to burn us all up. Now, that's not working out. They're going to have to go back to freezing once again. They finally quit saying global warming. They started just saying climate change. Climate change. Well, you know, if the climate goes up 1 degree or down 1 degree, that's climate change. But anyway, so that's what they're saying. But there is going to be some global warming one day. The Bible says that God's going to destroy this world and set this whole place on fire and burn it up. Every bit of, read the book of James. All the wicked works on this earth, he is going to wipe it off with fire. That's the global warming they don't want to talk about. But that's the one that's going to happen. That's the one that's going to happen. All right, let's stay where we're at. All right, I want you to see something. When God gave Adam, I want to show you the first thing that he told Adam to do. Look at Genesis chapter 2, and let me get you there. Genesis chapter 2, and then notice about verse 19. God creates Adam and Eve. And one of the first things he does, and I'm going to let it shock you. Let it go to verse 19. I want him to tell you. You'll see it. In Genesis 2, verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed all the beasts of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam. Why did he bring them to Adam? Remember, Adam has dominion. He's in charge. He's in charge of everything. So he brings them to Adam. What does he want from Adam? He wants to see what, in other words, see what he would call them. Adam's about to make his first official act of dominion by calling something, something. He's going to start speaking. He's going to start talking. He's going to start using his mouth now. And the power, remember, Adam is in this world that has been freshly created by Almighty God. There is no sin. There is no unrighteousness. Adam is walking in perfect relationship with God Almighty. He's walking as the righteousness of a son of God, as the Bible tells us in the genealogies in Matthew and Mark. He's walking in that son of Godship that he is. And now God brings everything unto him, and he says this, what are you going to call them in verse 19? And then the scripture says, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Do you see the authority that Adam has? And how is he exercising authority? Through his mouth. Adam, whatever you say about all these things that I brought before you, these beings that I have, these creatures that are here, whatever you say about them, that's what they are. You have authority on planet Earth. And whatever you've been saying about yourself, whatever you've been talking about yourself, whatever you've been speaking into your world, that's becoming your world. Just like it was in the days of Adam and Eve. Just like it worked there. Now, there are some little variations. Because Adam is in a perfect world, fully in full and correct relationship with God Almighty. Today, not everyone is at that place. It's certainly not a perfect world anymore. You now have an adversary that fights you day and night about anything and everything you say and do in this life. And in addition to that, where is your relationship with God? If you think you're going to be able to speak things into your life and, Lord, I want this, I want that, do this, do that, where's your relationship with God? It's all connected. Charles Capp says it like this. Confession alone won't get you the blessings of God, but it's part of it. It's part of the plan. There's other things that take place and other things that happen in your life when you begin speaking things in your world. But the basis of it, in a perfect world that we see, this is it. Look at verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But Adam, there's not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. How do we get the name woman? Adam named her. Adam's the one who gave the name. And when Adam gave the name, that's what it is. Because God says whatever you call it in your world, that's what it is. When God created that woman that he'd taken from man and created her to be a complement unto him and to be a helpmeet with him, then God's, that's it. That's what's going on. Now, ask yourself this question. If that's the power that Adam had in that day, recognizing we are in the sin-cursed world, recognizing you're in my relationship to God, where is it at? Recognizing all those things. Do you know that you have a major, major, major part to play what kind of world you're living in? First of all, in your own world, inside your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Secondly, in that immediate world around you, and then at the world at large. But you have a say in every bit of that. And I say that correctly. You have a say in it. Sometimes we fight for that, don't we? I want my say. You have a say. You have a say in it. You have words that God has given you with your mouth, just like Adam with his mouth. You've got words and you can speak things into your world and speak life and speak death, whatever you want. We'll see the scripture promise that in just a few moments. But that's in our world today. It's part of the ability that God has given us. And you know what? You can go continually and look at a lot of things, scriptures like this in scripture. Let me give you just one. We could go down to Noah, and what's Noah's known as? He's known as, you might say, a builder of a boat. Well, Peter didn't recognize him as a builder of boat. Peter recognized him as a preacher of righteousness. What's a preacher of righteousness? Somebody uses his mouth and speaks the word. That's what Peter said that Noah was. And we look on down, we can look at Samuel the prophet. God told Samuel the prophet this. He said, none of your word, not mine, but none of your words will fall to the ground. There's a special relationship that prophets of the old covenant had, that God recognized who they were and the authority that they had and said to them, whatever you say, God says he's going to make it come to pass. None of words are going to fall to the ground, whatever you say. And they had choices in a lot of things and how things work because of that anointing of God that was on their life. And it all had to do with what they spoke and what they said and the words that came out of their mouth. The Bible tells us, we read it, one of our texts several weeks ago, in Matthew 12 and 36 and verse 37, where Jesus said, by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. So what kind of life you want? You want a justified life? You can have that. You want a condemned life? You can have that too. You can have either one you want. By your words is what Jesus, not me, but what Jesus said would take place in our life. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you are condemned. We can go a little bit further. We look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the healing scripture. We back up verse 23, and we find out that Jesus was our example, and he spoke to us about the words of our mouth. In fact, turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me show it to you. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm praying yesterday while I am. This verse drops into my spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, and then verse 22, 23, and 24. You'll see it. Let me get there. I know there's a 1 Peter in my Bible. Here it comes. There it is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 22. Notice about Jesus. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Most of us are always talking about Jesus being perfect and sinless. And he was. He was, he was, he was. But also, the verse references there wasn't anything bad going on in his mouth either. There was no deceit. There was no guile in his mouth. How many wants to be just like Jesus? Somebody say amen. Well, get the deceit, get the guile, get the bitterness, get the hatred, get the envy, get the negative stuff out, get the doubt, get the unbelief out of your mouth. Get it out of your mouth. Because Jesus, why should you do that? Well, that was Jesus. Well, look at verse 23. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself. And he judged righteously. Who is on self by our sins on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And in fact, back it up. We can go and find out in verse 20 about the acceptable with God, being acceptable unto him. Verse 21 talks about following in Jesus' steps. He left us as an example. And so we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to live like Christ. We're supposed to do like he did. And so while he lived a life without sin in his life, when he had asked the Lord, you know, or our God, we asked our God to forgive us our sins, we're at that place of righteousness in Christ Jesus, not through our own, but through his righteousness. And we live that way, and we also live that way. We don't let guile in our mouth. We watch what we say. We don't let things come out, because what's going to happen if you do, your mouth is going to create your world around you. I mean, you know, try tomorrow. You could have a list of projects to do tomorrow. And the next week, and as we come into it, Monday is the greatest day of my life. I love Mondays better than any other day, because today I get to start all over again and, you know, go back to work and got a whole new set of things that maybe I didn't get accomplished last week. I can start on this week. So Monday's a great day. I love Mondays. But you know what? You could wake up tomorrow and do nothing tomorrow. That's your choice. You could wake up tomorrow and do something. That's your choice too. You could have all the projects and have all the opportunities in the world to do, but make a decision not to do them, and they're not going to happen for you. And the same thing is true when we speak about our words into our lives. You got a choice. You can speak words into your life that says, I'm going to fulfill these projects. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this going. I'm going to get that going. I'm going to make this happen. All these kind of things. Or you can back up and say, I won't get anything accomplished. I won't do anything. Nothing's going to happen good for me anyway. I guess I'll just give up. What's the use? No matter how harder I try, you know, the behinder I get, like the old song used to say. You can do all that if you want to. Or you can say, the Lord is my strength. And I believe, and I say, and I speak into my life the things that God says to me. And the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so I can begin to do everything that God has put in my path for me to do, and I can do it. It starts with my mouth. It starts with what I say. That's the beginning of actions in my life. That's the starting place. Okay, when we look at that now, as a Christian, you and I have to live by the words of our mouth. We are doing it, like it or not, you are doing it, you're doing it, you're doing it. All of us are. All right, look with me to Romans. Let's look at that great verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9, 10, we all speak that, we quote that, we think about that passage of Scripture that talks about our salvation and what it does for us and how we receive our salvation. And so in Romans chapter 10, let me turn this direction as well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that if, notice the if there, if you shall confess with your mouth. Your mouth has something to do with your salvation. Now think about that. You can be the biggest sinner in the world. You can be the most ungodly person there is. All of that can change in your life, where you can be made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, where the blood of Jesus will wash away all of your sins. All of that can change, and you can have that kind of life in your lifestyle. If you want to do that, you can do that. But the way you do that, the way that happens, is a twofold process. Notice, if you confess or say something with your mouth, you start speaking with your mouth. Your spirit inside of you, the Old Testament Hebrew word ra there, for your spirit has to do with this breath that is in us and comes out of us. We are, someone said it like this, we are called a speaking spirit in the earth. The dog really doesn't speak to us. The cats and the dogs, they don't do that to us. And the fish or the birds that fly, and all the, they have their communication methods, but not like us with the mouth of a speaking spirit like that we have. And we have that power and that ability within us. And that can make changes in our life through what we say and speak. And the most important one of all is our salvation. The fact whether we go to heaven or we go to hell, whether Jesus is our Lord or we still stay under the reign of the devil. Whichever one we want to do, we can do. And it starts with if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Notice that. You confess him as Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means, Jesus, whatever you say to me to do, I do from now on. I don't question. I don't ask. You know, I don't complain. I don't argue with you, Lord. I don't do that. Lord, you are my Lord. From now on, my life is not my own. I'm not going to do what I want to do in this life, whatever that might would be in my sinful condition. I'm not doing that any longer. Jesus, you are Lord, rather than my flesh lording over me and tell me I have to satisfy this habit or that habit or this sinful practice or something else. No longer. Flesh, you are dead to the world, and Jesus is my life, and Jesus is my Lord, and whatever you say to me, that's what I'm going to do. I make you Lord of my life. It is not just simply praying a little prayer. It is not just making a little statement that you don't mean and a little prayer that somebody just told you to pray. It's a sincere change in your heart, in your life, that from now on, Jesus is my Lord. The way I've been living my life has failed me. The way I've been living my life has hurt me, wounded me. I have no future in the way I had been living my life. And so, Jesus, I receive you. I've done it all wrong. And, Lord, you've done it all right. And so now you're my Lord. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. How many's made that confession in your life? Somebody say amen if you have. That's what we do. That's what we do. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't have an opinion about that. Whatever he says, that's the way it is. That is it. Now notice it. We confess it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead. Notice what the result is. You shall be saved. So how did you get saved? Two things. You believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus, that he died, buried for you, and 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, raised again for our justification. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe it, and now we speak with our mouth that Jesus, this living Savior, is now my Lord. I live for him. My life that I live is not my own, but the life I now live, I live in Christ Jesus, is what Paul told us. And so that's how we live our life. And you simply start doing that in your life, and your life changes. You start applying the principles of Jesus in your life, the word of Jesus in your life, and your life changes unbelievably. He'll give you the very best life, you know what, that you've ever had, ever experienced in your life is available to you once you make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, if you don't, and you keep letting the world be your Lord, quasi the devil or Satan be your Lord, then he'll make life miserable for you. He'll make it happy for a while, and he'll sort of disguise the misery in some kind of happiness for you. But it's all tending to death. But not so in the Lord Jesus Christ. His life tends to life within us. Well, how does that happen? It happens through confession. Now, why is it then? Because that's a very simplistic scripture. Why is it then that we read that and we see that and we know that, we experience that, some of us, but then after that we cut off our confession? No longer do we care to say what God tells us to say. We've already made Jesus Lord of our life. We said that he was. We said that he is our Lord. And so after that, now I'm going to live the rest of my life in this world the way I want to live it, or the way the world tells me to live it. And I'm not going to say this, or I'm not going to say that anymore. You won't catch me saying something that, is out there that the world, didn't tell me to say. I've been schooled and trained by the world, and I keep on talking like the world talks, acting like they act, living like they, you really have had a change in your life, if that's a life that you're experiencing. Because the life in the new creation, you are made a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new in Christ Jesus. And that's who we are. Let your mouth become new. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let your mouth be renewed to the word of God. Begin speaking the things of God. Ordering your world, because you're doing it. You're doing it. Even if you're doing it wrongly, you're still doing it. You're ordering your world wrongly when you're speaking wrongly. When you say, I doubt that I can do that. Someone asked me one time, there's a few things. There's a whole bunch of stuff I can't do, really. Well, there's a lot of stuff I can do in life. But I've always said that ever since I became born again. Somebody said, can you do it? And I said, yeah, I can do it. Somebody said, can you? Well, maybe I couldn't do it right then, but I can learn. I can get a little bit of education, a little bit of training, a little bit of experience, and I can finally get it done. But we can get it done. We can do it. And if you have that kind of lifestyle about you, you'll make yourself a very valuable employee where you work at. If every time they come to you, they say, can you think you can handle this? Well, sure I can. If anybody can do it, I can do it. Somebody say, if anybody can do it, I can. Amen. If you have that attitude about you and speak that into your life. Now, what if I come to you on the job and I say, you think you can handle this? No, I can't do that. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm Union 1. That's not under my union qualification. But anyway, Or you might say, no, I'm not only on my union qualification, but I've never done, I couldn't do that. I make a mess about everything I do. I couldn't do that. No, no, no. Well, they're going to pass you over. They're going to pass you by. They're going to go down the list and find the next person that says they can. And they're going to work with that person. And so, you know, it works that way in our life. What is it? We've come to God, and the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is rewarded for them diligently seek him, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And so when we come to God, that's what we do. We must believe he's a rewarder. But you come to God praying, Lord, I don't know if you do this or not. I hope you will. I got a lot of hope, Lord. Not an ounce of faith, but a lot of hope. I just wish you would. I wish you would. And you know, prayer results are not based on wishes and hope. They're based on faith. And that's what the scripture teaches us. And so you've got to change in your prayer life the words that come out of your mouth. When you praise and you worship God, you want to have a good spirit about you and good attitude about you. That when you're, you know, in church worshiping and you come in church and you like this and you look up and you won't open your mouth, won't sing, won't praise, won't do nothing. Well, I'm sure it was a dead praise and worship service, wasn't it? It may have been to you. It may have been to you. But to that person that opened their mouth and began to sing God's praises and worship him and honor him, it was the greatest time they've ever had. And it can be that way for you in your life. I mean, you can be happy and joyful. Sheila and I went to, I don't know if you can be happy and joyful on Belts, but we went to Belts the other day, coming back from the hospital, and we dropped by Simpsonville. And you know what? She had a coupon. Oh, you know what coupons are, right? That makes you pull in the Belts. So anyway, pulling the Belts, it's so confusing in Belts. Because this is 40% off, this is 30% off, this is another 60% if you download the app, and it's not raining on Tuesday, and it's a sunny day by the next day. You know, all these kind of little qualifications they have. And so we're going through Belts, and we walk through there, and she said she wanted to get her pair of shoes. Okay, and so I said, okay, let's go and get your pair of shoes. And so she started walking to the shoe department, and she walked by, she saw somebody else. She said, I might look at them too. I said, yeah, I thought you might. You're going to look at everything in the whole store for it over with. And she did. And so she had bought some stuff, and we were paying for it. And there was this precious lady that was there at the register talking to us. And she looked and talked to us a little bit and that kind of thing. And we were just sitting there being ourselves. And she was smiling. We were smiling. We were both smiling. I knew she was born again. And she knew we was as well. And I thought I'd seen her, but didn't know her real well. And she said, are you Reverend Bible? And I said, what you want to know for? Because I said, is it good or bad? She said, it's good. I said, well, I am then. That's who I am. And so we talked to her a little bit and smiled and had a good time, you know, with our words and that kind of stuff. And by this time, they only got one register open in the whole Belts in Simpsonville. But anyway, we're there, and there's about 15, 20 people out there with us and all standing around waiting to get in line. And about that time, another lady comes up the side of us, and she said, I think I heard a name over here, something about Leon Bible. She said, I heard that name. And I said, you did? And she said, is that you? I said, what do you want to know for? And so she said, because I have some neighbors, and she talked about Lewis and Barbara, said, I live beside them, and they talk about that church up there all the time. I said, really? I said, that's really good. And yeah, I am Leon Bible, if that's what it was. That's me. And we were all smiling, talking, and laughing, and they just wouldn't let us leave. And we spent 15 minutes trying to pay for that thing and get out of there and finally got out and that kind of stuff. But you know what? Your words come in, and you can have everybody laughing, everybody smiling, everybody happy, or you can go in the biggest laughs in the world and just be a big sourpuss and make everybody around you mad. If that's what you want to live, you can do that. You can do it either way you want to do. Now, you say that's an attitude thing, and some people need attitude adjustments, but that's an attitude thing, that's a relationship thing that I'm talking about. But it works that way, and even more than that, even more than it. Let me show you something. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It works that way and more than that. It gets the real deal. I mean, the absolute real deal. You can be saved by your confession and your belief in Christ Jesus. In fact, that's the way it happens. Oh, yeah, it does. That's right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, there's that confession again, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so there it is again. It involves that confession. The most important thing in your life, your eternal security, your soul salvation, the most important thing in your life has to do with your mouth. Well, if that be the case, wow. All these other things that are, you know, coincidental and in and around all that, they're going to be a piece of cake. My, if God can take some of you and some of me and the rats that we were and change us into the loving saints of God that we are today, you know that God can do other things in your life as well. And he does. Here's one. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, the scripture says, my son, attend to my words. Be attentive to my words. Attention. We come to attention to the word. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm ready for the next command when I come to attention. Attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, listen to my sayings. Listen to my words. Listen. Listen very carefully. Listen to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in your heart. For they, what is they? My words, my saying. They are life, life unto those that find them. And they are health to all of their flesh. Health to the physical body. Not just health to the mental mind, they are. Not just help to the spiritual part of you, as in salvation, it is. But they are also help to all of your flesh. This part of me that I live in, this body that I have, they are help to my flesh. My flesh is not just controlled by, let's say, an aging process or by medicines and, you know, good advice from doctors and things. And that's part of it. But not only that, the Word of God has an effect on my body and has an effect on my flesh. I mean, you can be young as you want to be. You can be strong as you want to be. You can be healthy as you want to be. If you're eating the right words. If you're filling yourself with the right words, because this word, it says, is held to all of their flesh, all of their flesh. So one of the main things that I do is this. When we talk about our words and our use of God's words in salvation, we understand that, of course. We understand that we're created and have dominion as God taught us in Genesis. We understand that. And in the midst of that, we start applying the word to our life. His words become our words. His word, if it's not your word, doesn't help you. You can know what to do, but never do it, and it won't help you. The path from knowing what to doing it, is going through your mind through meditation and out your mouth in words to the action. We tend to do what we say we are going to do. We tend to always speak it before we do it. You may say something like, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go out there and cut the grass today. Well, you said it. I think I'm going to go out there and cut the grass. You spoke it. And you get stronger and stronger in your words. So you'll say, where are you going? I'm headed outside to get the grass ready to cut. A few minutes later, I'll call Sheila on the phone. Okay, Sheila, the lawnmower's ready. Come cut it. But anyway. That's called administrative executive talk. I told Sheila when we first get married, we're going to have we can work together in this thing. I create the executive decisions, you carry them out. But anyway, hadn't always worked quite the way I planned it. But anyway, it's there. But we say things first. We speak them, and then they become parts of our world, parts of our life. And so notice there, they are health to your flesh. And so that's why, I think I got it right here, that's why that several years ago, I created my Healing Word Prayer Guide, and I began to read verses of Scripture to my body, and I began to tell these things to my body. That's one of them. I saw in Psalms 107, verse 20, that God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their instructions, the Bible tells us. God sent His Word and healed them. And so as I began speaking the Word over me, I realized that's a sent Word, and it's healing me. If I have a problem in my physical body, first thing I'm going to do is go to the Word and begin speaking the Bible over my physical body. It could be anything. You could be on a treadmill and have a pain in your foot. It could be in your back. It could be in your eyes, ears, whatever. Begin speaking the Word of God. Body, listen to this, body. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible tells us, verse 5 and 6, that by His stripes you are healed. You are healed. And I'll say, body, according to the Bible, not according to how you feel, not according to the examination, not according to the diagnosis, but according to the Bible, body, you are healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That was a good place for it. Body, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so you stop that. You stop it with the pain. You stop it with the soreness. You stop it with the trouble. You stop it with what's going on. You stop it in Jesus' name. You come to normal blood levels. You come to normal the way that you breathe. You come to normal the way you digest sugars in your body, those kind of things and different issues going on in our lives. You come to normal in Jesus' name. You're healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I begin speaking that into my body, speaking it there continually, not letting go of it. Then I'm going to go probably to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who says, by stripes you were healed. Not are, but you were. And so, Leon, you're not trying to get healed. You're not asking God to heal you anymore. That's not your situation or your problem, because the Bible says you were healed back at Calvary. So his stripes that took place by the cross of Christ, that he paid my sacrifice for my healing, that's when I got healed. And so I got healed there. And so now what Leon says with his mouth is, I receive my healing. And I receive it now. I don't receive it one day. I receive it whenever you give it, Lord. Well, you already got it then, because he gave it 2,000 years ago. You receive it now. It's up to you. It's up to you. You receive it right now. If you're in the future, you're hoping. Hope is in the future. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is. Now faith. And so now I receive it in Jesus' name. Body, you're well now. And it begins speaking that into your body, into your life. You use the word that way, whatever it might be. Whatever circumstance or situation that's going on, you begin to talk to yourself. You begin to tell yourself what's happening. Body, this is it. You don't get up in the morning and say, how do I feel? You get up in the morning feeling great. You get up in the morning and being happy about your life, enjoying who you are, and recognize that. And you recognize it's an eternal struggle, you might say, or a temporary struggle here on planet Earth, for sure. It's that, and we're struggling against the enemy who's constantly trying to fight you, constantly trying to come against you, constantly trying to take you out in any way that he can. And it's up to you to stand up against him. And the Bible said in the book of James that if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But if you don't resist him, he's not running. He's staying around. He's riding on you day and night. He'll make it as bad as he can make it, worse as he can make it, and continually be against you. And you can face adversary after adversary after adversary. I faced a few in my life. And as you do, apply the word of God to you in your heart. You believe it and confess it, just like salvation. You can see it come to pass in your life. Somebody say amen. That's it. That's how it works. That's how it works in this thing that we call faith. That's how it takes place. Let me show you just a couple things. You're there. Look with me to John. Turn with me here. John chapter 8. John 8 and 28. I could punch it in, but I love a paper Bible. John chapter 8 and look at verse 28. What does the scripture say in John 8 and verse 28? Let me get there. Here's what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto them. Jesus is the one going to be doing the talking. Here he comes. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm he, that I do nothing of myself. That's where you need to be as a child of God. It's not your plan that you're figuring out. It's his plan that you're receiving. Notice, and shall I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me. Notice, as the Father has taught me, speak these things. I speak these things. I say them. I speak them with my word. Jesus says, I'm doing what the Father taught me to do. It's not of me. It's not my latest invention, latest idea. This is what the Father taught me to do, and that's what I'm speaking, and that's what I'm saying. Remember, Jesus is our example. So him being our example, whatever he said he did, he spoke the words of the Father. What are you and I going to do? We're going to speak the words of the Father. And that's what we're doing. Like, we're speaking the words of the Father. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that. God is my healer. I believe that. God told me to love everybody, so it's not a question anymore. I automatically love everybody. I don't have any kind of bitterness or strife or anything in my heart or life. It's just not there. I don't have to pray to fight it back. It's gone. It's not there. We love. We do not operate in hatred and bitterness and all these things. No, we love every single person. We walk with the faith of God in our life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you refuse to let yourself become saddened and sorrowful and depressed, discouraged. All of us in life have things that we can allow to bring that's kind of discouragement in our life. If we want to, if you want to meditate on those, you can. You can do that. But you also can meditate on the goodness and the greatness of God and the joy of the Lord in your life. And you can have that joy in your life. And you can be happy in your life. But it's not going to happen until you give voice to it. Begin giving your words to the things of Almighty God. And that's what Jesus said he did. And if it's good enough for Jesus, how many knows it's good enough for you and me? Somebody say amen.
It is, isn't it? It is more than good enough. It really is. Now, that's John 8:28. Go down to John 14:10. I wrote this down, John 14:10 that the Lord gave me. Believest thou that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Now notice how he phrases that. The words I'm speaking to you is not of myself. What were those words? They're the words he heard the Father teach him. That's the word. Then what happens? The words I speak in you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me, he does the works. You want to see God do the works in your life? Change your mouth. Start speaking what God speaks. Start doing it like Jesus did it. Speaking the words of Almighty God. That's what Jesus said that he did. He did it that way. And so what we do as children of God, we speak things into our existence, speak things into our world. This is just one on healing. Very simple, basic thing to do. Look at Luke. Back up to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see this work this way in Jesus' ministry. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, let me get there, Luke 5 and verse 15. Scripture tells us, Luke 5, verse 15, but so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed. To hear and be healed. To hear words and be healed by him of their infirmities. They came to hear and to be healed. Hear and to be healed. You see it there? If you turn over one more chapter, Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, Scripture says, he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples and great multitudes of people came out of Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came out to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Hear and be healed. Hear the words that Jesus spoke and be healed. What better way can you hear the words that Jesus spoke than when you hear them to speak them out your own mouth? Speak them out your own mouth, your very own mouth. Give voice to the word of God in your mouth concerning healing. Body, you're healed in Jesus' name. Just say it. I mean, all the stuff that the world says against you and all these kind of things going on, and they got new diseases that pop up every single week, it seems like. They got plagues they planning out there, just like they had this last plague they planned and brought it down. They got all kind of new plagues they're bringing out there and just getting ready for you and wanting to kill off all, you know, so much of society because some wealthy people in the world figure there's too many people on planet Earth. They think we're, you know, growing too many and that kind of thing of people, and they want to kill off vast groups of people, and so they create all these things to do it with, and they begin doing it. And those things can take you out. They can come against you. But you know what? If you're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, to also be your healer, there is no plague that can come nigh your dwelling. Psalm chapter 91, right? And so one of the best defenses, do what you feel like you need to do concerning you, your personal walk with God, you, your physical condition, you, your medical advisor, your doctor, what, you know, whether you ever got a prayer through before, those, put all those things into the mix. And in the midst of all that, I have found this, that the greatest source of healing in our lives is the Father God Almighty. He's the one that brings healing into our life, and you don't need to fear whatever else they're saying that's coming against the world. I mean, you see people out there, they are still, you know, even this administration has said that the COVID epidemic is over. The emergency is over. It's done with. And you still see people every now and then that you see out there still not letting it get over. They still think it's going on. They still think it's happening. They act like it, walk like it, talk like it, dress like it. And some people will stay there. But you don't have to. You don't have to stay there. Be where your faith is, and let your faith be in the Lord God Almighty, that he is my healer. Ain't no plague coming nigh my dwelling. I won't have, ain't going to have, never did have, ain't planning on having, not going to have COVID or any other thing like that. It's just not going to be around us because of what God has done for us through Christ Jesus on the cross. And so I'm thankful for it. How about you? Say amen. Well, begin to speak those words out your mouth. Speak those when people tell you bad things about yourself and, you know, going to get this. The other, I had people say many, many years ago, when we first started the church, I was 27 years old, and I'd gotten saved. I'm sorry, I was 25 years old. 25 when I started preaching, and 27 when we started the church. But saved at 20 years of age. When we started the church, there was people bad-mouthed us every day from then until now. They gave me 2 weeks. They said, he'll be gone in 2 weeks. They said, ain't nobody going to come. And, you know, after got the past 2 weeks, said, he'll be gone in 6 months. 6 months came and left too. And they finally said, well, he'll go broke. They'll never mount anything. We heard Dad's quitting his job. He's going to start with it. I've never missed any of my pay whatsoever from the time of then until now. God's always put food on our table and give us something to eat and give us something to wear and a place to live and all that kind of good stuff. He's done a lot of good things for it. All the naysayers, if I had listened to the naysayers, I had one administration of a denomination call me up and said, look, we'd like to do this for you because you don't know how hard it is out there, you know, like this. And we want to give you this, we want to give you this, and we want to, and this was back in 1982, we want to give you $1,000 a month, expense money that you can live off of, and all these kind of things. They kept saying they would give me three different major things for our church, and us personally as well. And I said, no. It's just not what the Lord told us to do, and it's fine. We're not against anyone. We love everybody, and I don't have a bad word to say about them, but that's just not us. And he said, well, how will you make it? I said, God. I really, really, really believe that. I really, really, really believe that. God is our source of supply. Start speaking it with your mouth. When you catch something coming out of your mouth that is not the word of God, cut it off. Get rid of it. I mean, get it out of your mouth. We'll see scriptures that talk about it. Get it far from you. Get it out there. In fact, go back to that Proverbs chapter 4. Let me show you. Proverbs 4, we're going to shut the door on this one. But Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 20 again. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Notice what the scripture says. And be like the Bible. Do like the Bible. Walk like the Word. Here it comes. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your mouth. Let them not depart from you. And sit notes of verse 22. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, help to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, this is not what the world would call an easy thing to do. You have to be disciplined. Keep your heart and your mind, your spirit, with all diligence. Diligence means you put a little work effort there. You're going to have to do something to make it happen. If you don't do something, the natural flow of this world that we live in, the ungodly, will take you over. And the way you can see that is this. You can see a number of folks in our world today going nuts, and some of the, you know, the men saying the women saying the men, and that kind of stuff. That's not the thing there that most concerns me. It's all the other people that accept that as being anywhere close to being normal. I took abnormal psychology many years ago, and that's called abnormal. Of course, they rewrote, you know, the DM5 code book and everything else, and rewrote all that stuff. But it doesn't matter if they rewrote it or not. It's still the same thing as what it was. It's still abnormal psychology. That's what it, abnormal, not the norm. It's not there. And so it's not those that do the things, but it's the whole world that accepts them. That becomes the problem. My goodness. This week on the White House, we had two American flags at the White House hanging up on the front, and right in the middle was a pride flag stuck up there. Whoever thought we'd see that in America? And this happened before. It wasn't the first time. This stuff has happened before, and all these kind of things that are going on across America. And you go inside and buy something at Kohl's, which we don't go there anymore. That's why we ended up at Belts, I guess, until they do something. After that, I guess we'll go back to sewing clothes, Sheila. Unless you get a pride flag and put it over your sewing machine. I don't know. We ain't going to do that. But anyway. But all the stuff going on, all this kind of stuff happening out there, exposing your children and after your children to mutilate their little bodies, to cut off stuff and do this kind of thing, and rearrange them like that. My God, how can you do that to a 2 or 3-year-old child? Their whole life is ahead of them. They ain't got a clue what they want to do, what they want to be, anything. I saw one good thing somebody had said, and it just ended it all. This little kid came up to his mama and said, Mama, and the little boy said, I feel like I'm a girl. Mama just said a few words and ended it all. Well, you're not. End of story, right? We need some where you're not mamas in this world. Amen? Well, you're not. Well, you're not. All right. Look, get me there on Proverbs chapter 4. I'm shutting it down, remember? Verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth. Get rid of that mouth that's not godly. And perverse lips put far from you. Lips that say anything other than what aligns with the word of God should not be in the mouth of a child of God. should not be in the mouth of a Christian. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Where do we start from removing our foot from evil? Back up to what you had in your mouth. And put those perverse things out of your mouth that you begin speaking what God has said about you, talking like he talks, living your life like he lives it. You do that and your world will change and you'll be well pleasing to God. How many believe that? Somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.